The next set of questions, I think, is from My Oral Fixation, HiFix. Hope you're listening to this and having fun. Oh, I have actually also wanted to know the answer to this. What is the story behind your username? And why has it apparently never been used as a stage name by a respected burlesque dancer? And how we might be correct this tragic lack
sometime? I love it when writers ask questions.
So I don't know how I can answer as best. I don't know. People are... I've taken it now, so... fuck anybody else, I guess, is the answer to the second question.
Correct.
But the answer to the first question is, like, for a while I was thinking about, like, long before I ever went to GWA, I was always thinking of, like, a nom de plume type of name. And, like, cause obviously Betty LaFlame is not my real name. I've always just, like, and, like, I wasn't really ever sure, like, where I was going to use it. I've toyed with making a YouTube channel, but I've always kind of hated, honestly, like, like, audio production, making videos. I've really been good at it. So, like, you know, writing's always been my strong point. But then finding GWA was kind of the perfect way to finally use it. And the reason that I chose it was because, like, I've always just liked the name Betty, honestly, like, Betty for Dan, Betty Page.
I gave you a whole list of Betty's. Come on.
Yeah, all the Betty's that listed earlier. It's a great name. It's kind of like early to mid 20th century, which is like my favorite like time period, honestly. And LaFlame, because I just like saw that name and I really liked it. It's apparently from like French Canadian in origin, but yeah, so I just liked it. I just liked the way that it sounded. It is sort of a little bit ripping off Dita Von Teese, but I don't even care. I love her so much. So,
yeah, that's where that came from. You know what? I can see that.
Yeah.
I've never heard you say that before, but I can see it now.
Yeah. It was really supposed to be like LaFlame is one word, but the F is still capitalized. And now I'm like kind of leaning towards two words where like, yeah, like LaFlame. I go back and forth. I haven't really decided yet, or like if it's ever going to be decided. It doesn't really matter.
I appreciate how much thought you put into it. I was just like filling out the form and I was bored one day. I'm like, whatever, Natalie.
I mean, like I'd already had that, like I said, like before I joined EWA. So like, honestly, I was like, I guess I'll just use this, and like, I don't regret it.
Sweet.
Fix's next question, which, God, we are getting super into it here.
Oh.
What's your writing method? Planning and outlining? Winging it? Or something in between?
Ooh. Oh, God. Okay, so it's a form of the writing process that... you know, so like writer's process, which is like, you know, planning, outline, outlining, writing, editing, revising, and then like repeat the last two several times, the writer's process. But I also really believe heavily in what is called post-process writing, which is where you as the writer situate yourself in like a triangle with the reader and the world. So, you always have to keep those two points in mind and then situate yourself in the right way in order to like you have to find essentially like the right place for you to stand between those like two points to create that perfect triangle for whatever you're trying to write. And it's really hard. It takes a lot of guesswork, but you know, you just do research, you pay attention, and you kind of just guess a lot of the time. But when like in yeah, so like I learned about that in college, but like the way I think of it in like GWA is like me as the writer, the reader is the performer, VA, who's reading it and then going to perform it. And then the world is the listeners, the community of GWA that is going to listen to it. So I always try to keep in mind like, you know, how is a performer going to do this? And then also like, how are people going to hear this? So yeah, that's how I write. I'm always keeping all of those things in mind as I go through the process.
I love how detailed you are.
I do too. I really do. And I love how much thought you put into this. We stand very, very deliberate plotting and planning in our porn.
I just love people talking about writing and how they do it. Like, I think that's actually yeah, me too.
It's so interesting to hear what people do. Yeah.
God, dude. Guys, we're so predictable.
Fix's nextest question is...
We do words.
We do.
We're writers here, you guys.
If you, parentheses, or another author of your choice, were to use one of your scripts as a starting point for a broader work like a novel, which would it be? Where else would you want to find the story in? Or besides, in addition to, I can read the sexy stuff.
Fuck.
I know, right? It's a good question. Would you want to be the one to expand, or would you want to hand it off to another author and let them expand?
I'm tempted. Okay, so like, here's the thing. Like, I'm tempted to say like, I'd like to hand it off to somebody because I don't know if I'm ever interested in writing something as big as a novel.
Ooh,
like
that it?
Just
okay.
seems like
no.
a very
no. Oh my god! You can't have it. No, I am putting my foot down.
No. I would feel horrible because I don't feel like I could ever live up to like the expectations.
Oh god,
Nat! So.
Now you're just first. You wanted to take on more work hypothetically, and now you're hypothetically negging yourself.
Oh my
I was
God.
Trying to pump up Betty, not make myself. I'm just saying that her work is so brilliant.
Anyway, so you want someone else to write
anyway,
it.
But at the same time, it's like, I'm a control freak, and it's like, you cannot touch my idea because I know you'll fuck it up.
God damn it.
My idea. Yeah, you know? Like, it's like, I want to do it because I'm the only one. I am the only one who I trust to do it correctly.
It could be a short know? Novel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A novella.
Could be a novella.
Jinx.
I think it could also be like a script series. So just a series of scripts.
Yeah. The Himbo script I've done a couple of. Working on something kind of that works with the Coming Through Customs scripts. That's, I don't know how much more detail I want to go that into that. Maybe like...
Would you
like Frankenstein scripts?
Ooh, Frankenstein scripts, a good idea. I would ask, would you want to do like a character study of the main character of your goth IHOP script? Like, what's her internal life about?
Oh, yes. I could write I think a whole novel just about Elvira, my goth IHOP employee.
Right?
So I think that's probably what it would be.
A goth IHOP diary where it's just her like writing down her thoughts.
Yes, that would be amazing.
I think
yeah,
you could pull that off.
That's the answer.
Narrative tag. Just putting it out there.
Hot.
Anyway, I'm not assigning anyone more work, especially not
work?
You two. Get the fuck out. We'll have to tag profanity, not safe for work, but not because we're fucking. Just because Nat mentioned
that's
work,
totally
and I got real mad.
Not for safe for work, but not because we're fucking.
All right. Fix's next question was. What's a not usually sexy thing that you find sexy? I love this question. I love all these questions.
I don't want to be seen, but like, I don't want to be perceived. Big words. When somebody uses big words, I'm like, I hate the term sapiosexual because it's like
elitist.
It's like so cringy and like elitist the way that some people use it. But like, honestly, like, people's intelligence are a turn on for me, and like, particularly like a good vocabulary and like, I'm just gonna go with that. So big words, big words.
Are you sure the answer is not the song Rasputin?
Oh my god. Oh my god.
It was the first thing I thought of. It was the first thing I thought of when I read this question. I was like, oh, because it's my answer now.
Rasputin
and peanut butter pretzels. Shout out to TikTok thirst traps.
Yeah, so to the side note to the listener, we found several TikTok posts of people who are adults, of adults.
Adult men.
Adult men, specifically, who do thirst traps to those songs. And yeah, okay, that's all we're going to talk about.
Yeah, you can find them on your own if you want. Be an adult. Yep. The internet's a big place.
Anyway, next question to move away from that. Are there any particular genres?
Nat, how do you feel about Rasputin? Do you not want to discuss on the...
You know, this anime really isn't about me, as you keep reminding me.
Good times. Anyway, sorry, what were you saying?
Yeah, so Fix Next asks, are there any particular genres / settings that you want to try writing but haven't yet?
Maybe like something more like a screenplay. So something that is meant to be, you know, like filmed, like as in like a movie.
Oh, fuck yeah.
I've never really tried to do something like that. And I guess I never thought I was going to do like script writing, because I never really gravitated towards scripts, but
oh, I don't know. Betty, you're a wonderful dialogue writer. I'm not going to like
thank you.
Super hype you up.
Yes, that's one of the things I like about myself. It's hard for me to write narrative because it's like got no dialogue. You honestly, go back so I'm like, I don't know what the characters. Fuck I'm supposed to do. Yeah,
we can talk about this later. But there are some
that is a side
writing contest for amateur screenwriters that I can connect you to. One of my best friends is a screenwriter. We'll edit this out.
Yeah, of course.
We say that we'll do that.
We're not going to edit shit.
I'm going to edit this.
Okay. What if we just hand this in? Here you go, Reddit.
Here you go.
All right, it's my turn, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, I love this question from Fix. IRL, are you closer to IHOP Goth or Dreamgirl Hilda? Which would you ideally prefer to be?
So, Fix, I've always called him Oral, so now I feel bad. But Fix he's never corrected me, though.
Aww.
So
Fix is too nice to correct anyone.
Yeah. Anyway,
I'm sorry. I will call you that
from now on.
I'll just switch to calling him Oral.
You can't, because there are multiple Orals.
I know. That's what makes it funny. He can be Oral F.
Like I like Fix better. It makes more sense. Anyway, Oral is referring to the fact that like most of my profile pics for a long time were Hilda, who is like the plus size pinup girl who I love so much. She has like so many pictures too. So I had like all of my profile pictures for my Betty accounts, the different Hilda pictures. And then I switched to a couple different ones. And now I am Goth IHOP girl, courtesy of friend of the pod, sketchy by nature.
Not friend of the pod. God, the sense memory that triggered in me hearing it.
Okay, so like I don't I guess like porque no los dos. I like to be like a mid-century goth. Can I do that? I'd love to do that. This.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, I wish I was like that, but of course money. Honestly, I'm like IRL. I am pretty goth, but I'd like to think I'm also pretty. So I guess just a little bit of both.
Nice.
Yeah. The vibes are
Which would I ideally prefer to be?
Yeah. The vibes are pretty.
I guess, yeah, both. Like a mix of the two. Like a goth version of like vintage clothes. So like it's like peppy, but it's also sad anyway.
What an eternal mood.
I think our next set of questions is from Zara Nightshade, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. And she, I assume he, they, asked, what are your favorite book to movie show adaptations?
So Pride and Prejudice is definitely one. Scarlet Pimpernel is one of my favorites.
Oh,
which we've talked
interesting.
Which, like, I don't think you guys have seen that, have you?
I haven't. I mean,
explain it. I'm not either. You should also explain it for the listener, because, like, I don't think it's very...
Okay, yeah, it's not a very, like, well-known. So The Scarlet Pimpernel is a book that was written, like, the turn of the 20th century by Baroness Emma Orczy. I think that's how you pronounce it. If that's not, I'm sorry. It was actually, like, the first, like, superhero book. It inspired both, like, Batman and, like, James Bond, 007. And the story is of English aristocrat who's like a dandy and like a idiot, like a foppish English guy by day, and then he's a a vigilante by night. He sneaks people out of France during the Reign of Terror into England to like save their lives. He ends up falling in love and marrying a actress, but not until like he falls in love with her before he realizes that she actually gave names away to people who were killed, and so he realizes that he probably can't trust her, like literally the day of their wedding. So then he has to like hide who he really is from her, despite the fact that he loves her so much. So it has this like espionage and angst, and oh my god, it's so good. And then in the 80s, they did a miniseries of it. And the guy who plays Percy Blakeney, who's the main character, is like amazing. And I have an emote of his where he's got the magnifying glass and he's going, "Sink me." And like, that's really funny.
Nice.
Yeah.
Aww. I really love that.
So much stuff. I always get like so many great recommendations from you.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
All right, next question. What type of music are you into, and do you put on certain genres while working on scripts, if you put on music? But I'm pretty sure
I usually try to like assign a mood to a script, and then I try to listen to stuff in that mood. So that involves sometimes making like playlists on like Spotify. Sometimes I'll go into the groovy and start playing stuff, and Meg will come in and then take it over. It's fine.
Is that what I do? No. Aww. No. Tell me if I'm taking over the groovy bot. Seriously. I'm a bit of a playlist tyrant. It's not a good habit.
I think it was the one time that you made us stay in like a chat until the like song cue had finished. Because you're like, no, you're not leaving.
I might have. I really am a bit
that sounds
of a
like a Meg thing to do.
But you can but like, gently correct me, and I will stop being a playlist tyrant. Just for the record, okay, for anybody listening, call me out if I'm ever being a bitch. I will stop. I just don't realize I'm doing it half the time.
But in like regards to what kind of music I like, I tend to like rock and like indie stuff. I kind of like honestly like a little bit of everything. I really don't listen to the radio. So, like, I never know, like, what's most popular. Like, when the driver's license song came out, oh, Meg was always asking me about it. And I was like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
I assumed like, that you were going this. To be our connection to Gen Z. And you just did not
I'm want. Sorry I dropped the ball on
you
that one.
Just, no, it's fine. You just, like, I hoisted that responsibility upon you. And you said no. You said no, thank you.
I mean, there are things that I do understand about Gen Z, being Gen Z myself.
You but... did introduce me to Welcome to Chili's, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You're the reason I take Young Gravy seriously. I don't know if I told you that.
I fucking love Young Gravy so much. Okay, anyway.
I'm just going to keep nodding and pretend I understand what's happening.
Okay.
This oh,
yes.
Memorial on this next one, you guys are not allowed to derail. Is cereal soup? Why or why not? Betty, answer.
Cereal is soup in the way that there are only three categories of food. Soup, salad, and sandwich. So, yes.
Correct.
Cool.
Great, let's move on.
Yeah, that's all the explanation that needs.
Done and done. Make. I love it when we are efficient together. It happens so rarely, but when it works, it really works for us. What is your favorite trope? And what is your least liked trope?
God. Right? The word trope is so vague. Like, are we talking like a fan fiction trope? Or are we talking like a GWA trope? Or are we talking about GWA trope. I'm just thinking of tags, honestly. Like,
yeah, I think probably most of the tags that are tropes are pretty obvious.
Like, Friends to Lovers is a good one. I guess after date.
Ooh.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, that's a good one. I realize this, almost all of my scripts start out by somebody knocking on the door and coming in.
Oh, there are two ways to start a script. This was one of the first things I read on Inkwell, the writer server. Someone posted there in like the writing advice room that there are two ways to start a script. Either open brackets, door knocking sound, close brackets, or, oh, I'm so sorry, sweetie, I had to tie you up for your own good. That's it. Those are the only two ways to start a script.
Those are the only two ways to start a script. You're right. One bed, is one bed a good one?
I think so.
One bed is one of my favorite tropes.
It's so good.
One bed is one of my favorite tropes.
I used to not like it, but now I've grown to like it. I just felt that it was very overused, but now I'm like, no.
See, I never engaged with the fanfiction world, so I was introduced to one bed pretty recently, and I was like, oh, this is so fucking dumb. Let's go. I find this delightful.
There are 5 million one bed fics for every single pairing in every fandom. Anyway.
All right. So
what's your least
favorite
trope?
Yeah, though? I was going to say favorite. Oh. We'll go with one bed. Least favorite, though.
Oh,
come on.
Fuck.
Get controversial. I think I have an answer.
For yourself or for
Betty? Is this your answer for me?
hang on. At first, I thought it was for Betty, but then I realized it might be for me. Hang on.
Just do a quick, like, health check. Want a system diagnostic.
Yeah. You know, it was 40% for Betty, and then I checked the rest of the 60%. And, like an iceberg, everything under the surface was for me.
You know what GWA trope I don't really like that much?
Let's go.
It's like the meta trope of like your favorite GWA performer kidnaps you.
Oh,
interesting.
I don't like that. Like,
I disagree.
Like, if you like it, that's fine. I understand. Like,
obviously, we're not here to shame. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's no shame. I don't know.
Is it too much of you being directly perceived?
Honestly, yes, it is. That is exactly good answer, what it is. Then. Like, see, like what it really is like for the like performers that I listen to, I want to have it like devoid of being.
You
want to
have
a person.
Yeah, totally fair and valid.
So that like forces me to like merge the two identities of like the person and the performer, and like don't like that. Mm-mm-mm. So.
Yeah, I tend to be the same way, Betty. Again, not kink shaming.
No, yeah.
I don't even think this is like kink so much as this is just like a storytelling technique.
But yeah,
it's a trope.
Yeah, I really like the like stories where the character is something that you couldn't meet or couldn't be, and I like that exploration of possibility, and that always interests me more. But again, I get it.
So the meta, specifically the performer, like reaching out to you, the listener, through the void, is your least favorite
yes.
trope.
Mm-hmm. That is my least favorite trope.
Good answer.
Okay, the next question from Zara is, and I kept misreading this, is what is something small that always makes you small? Which was very interesting to like existentially think about.
That makes me small.
But the actual question is, what is something small that always makes you smile?
When somebody compliments me on a script I've written, that never fails to like send my serotonin like through the roof. whether that be like Nat and Meg, who give me many compliments on my scripts all the time. And I am very grateful, even though I don't know how to take compliments, to random people who just like comment, or people have talked to me like in chats have been like, I read your script and I really liked it. And that's just been really neat. And yeah, that's always nice.
Nice.
No. All right. The next set of questions is from the user Lux Wanna Pop. Hey, Lux. Good to see you.
Hi, Lux.
And Lex's first question is, what is your dream collab team? And I think we should leave this open to your interpretation. So writing, performing, whatever.
I'm gonna go with writing
do.
Because like I guess it's just to say like I have more experience working with other writers than I do performers. So I wanna stick to writing on this. But honestly, like the DWA Valentine's Day quiz, that was like kind of the dream team collab, honestly. Like,
it was, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. It was like everybody stepped up to the plate and got all their stuff in. And it was awesome. I loved working with Hex on that. We had never worked together before. So that was really cool to work with him and like hear his interpretation of my script and everything. I really liked working with Shauna, like I've mentioned on the Snuggly Sweater script. That was really great. I don't know if this counts, but I really fucking loved doing the one line script, which I guess was like a collab with the community.
That's a really good answer, Betty. Aw.
Yeah. I love working with you guys, both of you, Beg and Nat, a lot. We have not ever, the three of us have not done a collab. Like,
we haven't.
Like a writing collab anyway. We should.
We haven't, between us. Like, I have not collabed with you, Betty, or you, Nat.
No.
No, none of us have collabed with each other, which is very weird.
That's very weird considering, like.
No, it's not weird. Anyway. We're all too similar. Let's be quite honest.
Yeah, okay. Can't get too stuck on that.
But we're going to do it. We all know it's going to happen,
yes,
inevitably.
We're going to do it, yeah. Yes.
Part of the reason I think it never happened is because we don't have ideas that grab us and we think, oh, we need to write this together.
We need to do that together, yeah.
Every Which is idea usually we have how... is an idea that we could do together. We're just like, yeah, we could all do this.
Honestly, but... yeah. Like, yeah. And like, that's kind of almost always how like collabs between writers happen is like, hey, like, I mean, what about this? And it's like, I really like that. Do you want to do that together?
I mean, there's also the troubling problem that all three of our lives have to not be in chaos at the same time.
And that is so rare. Like,
we also have to have other people that we have not previously promised things to in big projects that we don't want to let down.
Like myself.
So, our written collab coming next spring.
Spring of 2022.
Oh my, is it bad that I don't think that spring of 2022 is a date that can happen?
Oh my god. All right.
Honestly, yeah.
Next question. Get
so like existentially sad show. On your question, Lux. Basically,
oh, Lux would find that.
Dream collab team is everyone.
Yeah, like, we're all awesome.
The Don Mulaney joke where he's like 2029. That's not a real year. I'm going to be drinking moon juice with President Jonathan Taylor Thomas. I'm not going to be writing you no paper check. I love Donnelly. Okay. I also really liked working with you, Lux, and with Mouse on on the Minotaur script, which was great, which was filled by also friend of the pod.
Fucking hell.
I could tell you guys collabed really well together on that too, because
It happens like, super quickly, so fast. And it happened with no tension, and the script is really delightful.
It is.
It was really great, and then I really liked working with them, and then turning around and working with them again on the film that is hopefully up by the time I post this, with Krim and Avalon. I really enjoyed working with
Krimalon.
Okay. Next question from Lux is, what is your favorite movie snack? Also unrelated, I'm really hungry.
Yeah, hard same.
Me too.
We're so close to the end, you guys. After this, after Lux's questions, we just have mine.
Oh, yay. And you only asked 50. So
there's only one, two, three, four.
Okay.
Okay. Favorite movie snack? I like popcorn. Just like plain old popcorn. With a drink, with an A&W root beer. That's such a
good answer.
Such a Midwest. Yeah, it is.
Good answer. It's a good answer.
I felt the corn come out of my nose when I.
Oh my god.
Okay. That's my answer. Popcorn.
All right. Good answer.
You still sound like you're on Family Feud. I'm sorry.
Oh my god. Good answer. Good answer. I can't help it. I don't know what to do about that.
A bad answer.
Shitty answer. Horrible answer. How dare you pick popcorn at the movie theater? Yeah. You garbage monster. They're so unsophisticated. Are you happy now? God. Oh wait, I have a question. How do you butter your popcorn?
As well as I can.
All right.
I try to butter as much as I can. Honestly, like I prefer it to be salty over it to be buttery.
Ooh.
So, like I just I like salt. Like it's probably I know salt is bad, and I understand that. But like, I like things to be salty.
Salt is bad, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, like I don't like it. I also don't like it to be soggy. Like
that's
so,
the thing. I don't like soggy popcorn either. It upsets me.
I've talked about this with Nat. We're like, apparently, I just don't like wet bread. That's like my least favorite thing.
Yeah, we had a whole wet bread. Oh,
she had like a she helped me come to this revelation because I was like, she was like, we were talking about I can't remember, but like I was like, I don't really like strawberry shortcake. And my dad puts milk on it. I don't really like that because it's like wet. I don't like that. And she's like, do you like stuffing? And I was like, no, actually, I hate stuffing. And she's like, do you like French toast? I'm like, no, actually, I don't like French toast.
Oh my god,
I don't like wet bread. Oh my god. I'm like, you're so right. That's what it is.
That's so funny. God,
this
we learned
a lot about my
so
day
much
job.
About ourselves.
I was able to follow that train of thought to the conclusion that you don't like red bread.
God.
Okay.
Ideal or favorite TV couple and why?
Peggy and Stan.
Yes, good answer. I'm sorry, I don't care that I'm Family Feuding now. Peggy and Stan is
like
a great answer.
Character, and she has like her own career, and like they have such a great relationship, and like that has like had its ups and downs, and like they have like good ways of communicating, and like he respects her, and like oh my god, and like okay, I probably just think that people know better. I think of what is a popular show trademark?
That is a popular show. I haven't seen it, but I don't watch TV. So
what are shows with healthy relationship dynamics?
Have you seen Gilmore Girls? Because like if you answer that.
Oh yes, then Lorelai and Luke. Lorelai and Luke.
That is probably the best relationship on that show. Although we can talk a little bit more about the Logan Jess thing, which I know we disagree on once we're off the air. Because
I haven't seen Gilmore Girls. I have no opinion.
You should watch it so you can be like the voice of reason.
No,
between us,
Betty has to watch Degrassi so that
I am not going to watch Degrassi.
Well, then I want you to watch Gilmore Girls.
I have no reason.
I have no reason to watch Gilmore Girls.
It is very white. I don't actually, like it's painfully white.
Yeah. I honestly
Degrassi or Gilmore Girls.
I mean both, but at least Degrassi kind of tries, except the ways that they try are really horrible.
That's the thing. Is it better to not try or to try and be wrong?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's the Glee
I
question.
Think, like...
It is.
Indeed. I like Community is one of my favorite shows.
Oh.
And, like, not in that same vein, but like, oh, I love, I ship Abed and Annie like
yes,
so hard.
Good. Ugh, I hate that I'm now self-conscious about a good answer. Fuck off, Nat.
I like read Annie as like being like ADHD and like you know it checks out because like she takes
Adderall,
like she takes Xanax,
little
and she,
Annie
yeah, Adderall. She takes Adderall, which is prescribed for ADHD, and she just over medicated, and that's how she has her breakdown. And like then Abed is autistic, so that just like works.
Aww.
Because yeah, and so I ship them really hard, and people are always like. Oh, but like, she never like he never like saw her like that or like
no anyone to be
firstly, Jeff was like almost like there's no way there's it's no way
predatory but you know what
would, yeah even look at Jeff honestly
yeah
it's fine. So I ship Annie and Abed really hard, so I'm going with them. I'm going with Annie and Abed.
Well, I guess you admit
No. I see what you're trying to do. I'm shutting it down.
Okay. The next question from Lux is, if you had a theme song, what would it be?
Oh my god. So
and why it would... isn't it the Pokemon song? Because it should be.
It is not the Pokemon song. It is, although I do respect, heavy respect to the Pokemon theme song. Heavy respect. But the cover of Call Me by Blondie, done by the indie folk rock band Hillbilly Moon Explosion.
Ooh, what an answer.
It's my theme song.
We're going to have to link to that. We're going to have to link to that. What a good answer. I'm excited to hear this.
I just like it because it sounds so much more like mid-century than like late 20th century, like 80s, and that's what I just that's my favorite period in history we have talked about, and
aww,
just like it sounds punchy.
I'm excited to hear this. All right, last question from Lux. What is a genre that you have yet to write you'd love to try?
I've written almost every genre, honestly, from not as a humble brag, but like in the process of studying writing and like just doing different things that like you know, trying to find my voice and things like that.
What if we narrowed it down to GWA?
Okay.
Also, Fix asked a similar question earlier, so I'm trying to remember what
he did. Yeah. But if we're going to narrow it down to GWA, I'm even just trying to think of a style of writing in GWA that I haven't done. I've done narrative. I've done like the script. I've done collabs. I haven't really done like a CYOA, really.
Ooh.
That would be fun.
So maybe that.
Get into those.
Yeah.
So I guess we do kind of have that project coming up that might count. So.
Ooh, are we teasing things?
It's a Betty project, so I think we should, because I think it's going to be great, at least her part.
Yeah. Watch it for in like 6 months when I finish this.
Time is a social contract. All right. So now we're on to my questions, which, fun fact for everyone listening at home, I did not submit my questions. So Betty and Nat will be experiencing them for the first time, along with all of you lovely people at home. My first question is, tag yourself as an audio.
Ooh.
Ooh, fuck. Goth. Goth. Big titty goth girl. Big titty goth girl is number one.
Big titty goth girl or big titty goth GF? Are you going big titty goth GFE?
That's a good nope. We're going big titty goth girl. All
right, cool.
Like I we're getting that. Together in this.
All right.
Love of strangers to lovers always. Praise. I can think like because like I love to be with people and I love to talk to people and I love to tell people that I like them.
Aww.
So praise is gonna be another one. Third tag. This is hard. Third tag. Would probably be like pop culture references.
Ah, nice.
I communicate solely in like memes and pop culture references.
Yeah, good tag. Second question is, what's your core value? What drives you more than anything else?
Oh, fuck.
I know, right? I'm having fun.
Yeah, great to save this till the end. We're all tired.
My answer is, I have no idea what I'm doing. Never at any point do I have any thoughts in my head.
So the tag is improv.
Improv.
The last tag is improv.
improv. Yes. I just keep walking forward until someone tells me to stop. And that is my, I guess my core tenet is just keep moving forward. Not to get all Meet the Robinsons in
here. Oh, I love that movie. Oh,
it's a good movie.
All right. My next question is, what script or audio of yours are you most proud of? This is an open space for you to brag on yourself.
And we want to hear you brag, like no holding back.
I mean, I'm really proud of the Goth IHOP script. I don't really get to talk about that very much, I feel, because like I don't want to be like hogging the spotlight, especially about something that has long stopped being relevant.
Oh, talk but, about Goth IHOP, Betty. Let's go.
I feel like that script, and I've seen this with like really good scripts and ones that just kind of take over, they start trends on GWA, mm-hmm. and that script is a trend starter, both with Goth and with IHOPs, actually.
And we like, all started getting, we all started dressing up in our Hot Topic 2006 wear and eating breakfast foods.
Yeah.
See, that's actually a subgenre of Goth called Mall Goth. Meg, there are different types.
Oh,
have you not studied the aesthetic wiki?
In
like depth, don't call the way me that out. I have?
I'm not doing my aesthetic wiki homework.
I would also like to say that the king of scripts, Fluff Cunningham, did write a Goth IHOP script before I did. That was like he was the first person I actually talked to in GWA. Because I was like, hey, I want to do this, but like, I don't want it to steal your thunder. And he was like, don't worry about it, because Fluff's a sweetheart. And
Fluff's the greatest. It's why he's king of the scripts.
Yes. So for anybody who doesn't know, the first, I really like breakout into GWA was with this, audio that was like, Sigh, welcome to Goth IHOP, where the coffee's as black as my soul. where I wrote and performed this character, Elvira, who serves the listener the number 13 special, where you take back to the crematorium section and then fuck on antique furniture. It's great. It's also gender neutral.
Yes.
Fuck yes.
So, yes. So my first ever... my first ever GWA thing was 4A, and I'm very proud of that. And like, I did not expect it to blow up the way that it did. It went like, it was very popular.
Can I tell you, as someone who
yes.
did not know you yet, I remember
yes,
seeing
please.
Just the title, Sigh, Welcome to Goth IHOP, where the coffee is as black as my soul. And so I clicked into the post because I was like, what are we doing? And then I saw that you had written the script. And so I clicked on the script and I was like, oh, I'm going to be friends with this person. I just decided.
That's so funny.
Because I loved your sense of humor. I like you... were someone who very clearly, like, you loved this concept, and you were coming at it from a place of love. It wasn't like you saw some Goth IHOP art that really, like, I don't know, made your brain go burr. Like, you weren't just, like, playing around with the idea. Like, you, I could tell that this really clicked with you, and that's why you wrote it and why you filled it. And whenever you can like read that passion through someone's content, I just get really excited to interact with whoever that person is.
Yeah, I really admire writers who like are able to toe this line between like fun and still sexy, because it's really hard to do. Stuff can go cartoonish really quick, but this script and a lot of your writing, I think, does it so well. It's fun, it's engaging, it gets the characters right, you know who they are, and you want to see more from them because it's just so awesome.
I agree.
Thanks, Matt. Thanks, Meg.
All right.
oh,
wait, go ahead. I didn't want to transition
quick,
to the
quick,
last question.
Yeah, quick. Keep going. Just a quick note about this, the quick still Goth IHOP. I was just going to offer the script. I was not actually going to perform it, but like, it was like, I was new to GWA, had never, I had posted a script before that asking for like advice. And then nobody gave me any. So I ended up deleting that. Which I wasn't surprised. We talked about this. Yeah, we've talked about this before. But like, so this was like my first ever like thing post proper, I guess you want to say. I didn't actually post IHOP on Guadable on Audible because I didn't know that you needed certification. And so I tried and it was like, okay, well, think about it. They certified me. And by then I just was like, I was like too nervous. So I had one more note. Okay. So like the reason I did was because I was like, as a writer, I think it's important to know the perspective of your audience.
Yeah.
So again, with this like triangle of post-process, I was like, I need to know what it's like to be a performer. So I decided to fill my own script just to honestly, just to see what it was like to perform a script. Mm-hmm. And then I did a couple script fills after that. Neither of which did nearly as popular as the Got IHOP script. And then I ended up just pivoting to writing. And that's honestly the reason why I ended up filling it. Like, no other reason than besides I just wanted to see what it would be like. And then it became this huge thing. Not huge, but huge at least for, like, not like huge, huge. There have been other things that have been big.
Betty.
But like.
It was a huge moment.
Okay.
It was a huge moment. Absolutely remember.
And it was weird, like coming into, I didn't join the Discord until after, like in November. And I posted posted Goth IHOP in July. And to have people say like, oh, you're the Goth IHOP girl was funny or interesting. I was like, oh yeah, I guess I am that person because it was so popular. And so yeah, that's my perspective on that.
Thank you so much for sharing. I'm very glad that you took a moment to brag on yourself. All right, my last question. This is a really fun one. You have gotten a broken copy of Stardew Valley. You can either date the villagers or build your farm.
Oh my god.
Now,
why
in either version you can still form friendships and become roommates with people. You just cannot date and marry.
I just can't.
Or you cannot build up your farm. Or you can't build up your farm. Either or. So which version
about my farm
of Stardew Valley do you choose and why? And
Meg,
I want to know, if you choose to date, who are you dating? And if you choose to farm, why? Like, what are you doing with the farm specifically? Like, I need to know the plotting of your farm. Come on, let's go.
What Meg is really asking me is, would you rather farm or date and marry Ellie?
Yes, I am. You're right. That's exactly what I'm asking because Nat.
I think what you're actually asking, Betty, is would you choose hoes over bros?
Hey.
Oh my god.
You know what, Nat? That was a good one. I'll give you that.
That was a good one. It was a great one. Yeah.
Listen, fam, and by fam I mean listeners, because saying listeners felt uncomfortable to me at the moment. I have Betty's farm in the Stardew Valley game that she has like saved. It is very intense. I don't know if there's a way to put like a screenshot of it in the chat.
I just have to take a picture of it.
It is like she has built up her farm so much, and she very clearly cares about the farming aspect of Stardew Valley. But I also know that Betty loves Elliot. We feel very strongly
about our
Elliot.
I love Elliot so much.
And so,
yes.
Where are we going? Which way are we doing?
I think I would have to choose the farming.
Knew it.
Really?
I knew it.
Honestly, like, as much as I love Elliot, like there's just not much to do on a day-to-day basis in regards to like doing relationships. Like I guess you can try to like talk to everybody every single day and make sure you give your two gifts a week to every single person. But in the end, that's just like honestly not my priority. The only character that I genuinely try to do that with is Elliot. So like I just figure like the villagers I can build up relationships with, you know, in my own time throughout the years that you play it. But like the farm is something that like I have to build up slowly every single season, add more to it every time until I get the full picture that I like. Which I will go into depth with because Meg finds it very fascinating. So for those who have played Stardew Valley, this is not going to make any sense, and I'm not going to provide context because this is already very long and there's just too much to go into. But what I do is I have the farmland. I always do just the regular farm. I never do like any of the other ones unless I'm doing a co-op and I do the Four Corners, but that's a very specific scenario. I always split the farm into four sections. And then for the topmost quarter, I always have like there's the greenhouse and I've always put my farm there. And then for the bottom left quarter, I have a like an orchard there. And also like a pond on the other side closer to the pathway. I always do like my plants that are I always have a fence for my animals in which I divide their like pasture in half so that the other half can grow grass while they eat the half that they're on.
Oh god damn it, that's smart.
Yeah, because they will just eat you out of house and home otherwise.
Damn.
Yeah, so you like rotate fields for them. And then I do, the farther you get away from the house, the more likely I'm going to have a crop that is evergreen. Like it will continue to give crop instead of like something that you pick and you have to plant seed down again.
Oh.
And that's just like for convenience, honestly, so that way like I don't have to keep running back and forth.
Bushes?
No, I mean like green beans or for like spring, which continuously, or like coffee beans is a really good one. Which will, it just stays there as the plant and then it will just keep giving you crop like for the rest of the season. It just takes a while usually to grow.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah. And then like fall, it's like corn is the big one, but there's also like it's a lot for summer, like tomatoes, not eggplant is fall. Blueberries? Blueberries, I think. Anyway, like cranberries, eggplant, grapes, grapes another one, hops, love hops. Whenever I have a trellis plant, which are grapes, green beans, and hops, I always have them in the same row as the sprinklers. I have also have everything on sprinklers. Do not, like, as soon as I can, do not, I'm not fucking around with watering everything. I only put them in the rows with the sprinklers, and then I always do like four and then leave a space, and then four and then leave a space, so that there's rows up that you can walk through without trying to like navigate a maze of trellises. At the beginning of the seasons are always the worst because you have to plant your entire field. So if you're gonna do like a big field, don't try to do the entire field on the first day. You're not gonna be able to do it. Just do like as much as you can and then like keep building it up, and then you'll usually get it by the end of the week. You'll get your entire field ready. But when you go from summer to fall, like by like all of the hay that you can possibly get, and then like destroy your summer crops and then plant hay there.
God, you said this before, and just the idea of destroying my summer crops makes me so nervous. Also, I am sorry to everybody who listened for like legitimate AMA stuff and is now just listening to me be really impressed by Eddie's knowledge of Stardew Valley farming practices.
It's at the
yeah,
end.
It does hurt. Yeah, it does. We've already weeded out all the people that don't want to listen to my voice.
Oh, that's very true. Anybody who isn't here for the specific way in which we do things is gone. Hello to the four people.
Who I wish that like
will probably Soundgasm be would like. Do, like
I wish Soundgasm did like retention rate so you could see like
oh exactly when we lose people.
Yeah. But I know it does hurt to like kill your summer crops, but like they're gonna die the next day anyway, so it's like honestly it's worth it just to save yourself the hoeing, honestly. Like, and even if you only get part of it, that's a part that you don't have to hoe for fall and like clear, and that's always takes time and effort that you don't necessarily have.
Well, we'll talk about it when I get to the end of summer. Maybe I will be able to plan it correctly so that I won't have any crops that I need to kill.
Honestly, your first year doesn't really matter that much anyway. Because like,
disagree.
No, this is definitely like a. This is more of a like a year 2, 3, 4, 5 thing.
Okay. Every day matters. All right, that was my last question.
Yeah, and we've been going for I think a little over 2 hours. So this is gonna be fun to edit.
this is gonna be so fun to edit.
But Betty's awesome.
R.A.P. to
me. Anyone who listened this entire time must really love Betty's awesome.
Yeah, God, thank you so much for sticking with us. If you
yes,
listen,
thank you for sticking around, just listening to us. If you want to listen to us again, too bad because we're never doing this. Again.
No, just kidding. We're gonna do this every week.
Wait, what?
We'll just have an AMA for. We'll do an AMA every week.
So when we were talking about buttering popcorn, because we made so many Mean Girls references, all I could think is, do you want to butter my muffin? And then I'm just like, oh god.
I want to butter my muffin.
Did you make a muffin? I would love a muffin. Guys, can someone feed me
okay,
a muffin?
Okay, let's we have to sign up. Thank you so much for listening. Catch you guys around sometime.
Yeah, bye. Bye-bye.
Bye.